by the way.
Anyway, we're for there to see ya to the Kumangalande, Kantuaila, Masambi, Lokan Smalwele. The Kokun smile and if men will Fiavora, and the poor man, and I'm going to be a Kalale, and Sakon Koktamba fin de Queen. We Latin the wind and get fino, she dealing and about him when I Shakon get people pepper fin de con, Shakon Kahifun and Guamasako, Emisho, Nikupendo, Muzulu, Emma Pepper, Layatanga, Navaku, Itumatava Pela Gama Fumo, Pakuyamo, Kanonga Wava Fimo, Mambala wind and getting son, the bath and the fire rupia, who kept Senangu Niba rupia, Bagaqueva to a concolupia.
Pilato opening our show on Saturday, August 25th, 2018. This is Zambia Block Talk Radio. Welcome, everybody. It's good to be back and do what we know to do best. Good afternoon, Europe and Africa. Good evening, Western Australia and the Pacific world. And good morning, America, like we say in these parts of the world. This is Zambia Block Talk Radio. We do welcome everybody and thank you for joining us. Looking forward to a great show here, and after being away for some time, hi, Roger.
Yes, Nathan, good morning.
Good morning, good morning.
Yes.
We had a great Zambian clergy first ever conference, and it was explosive,
yes.
I can tell you that. I saw that.
I saw big man was around. I'm like,
yes.
Whoa.
Can you imagine? We almost thought like, wow, how could this be? I mean, that's an apostolic figure and a man who is pioneering in everything known to charismatic or Pentecostal movement in Zambia. And he happened. We didn't even have him on the planning, on the schedule, like for months in planning. He was just around. We talked to him.
Oh, of course. He just doesn't know. Yeah, for sure.
That's true. Dr. Pat, good morning.
Bwanti.
Bwanti.
I like that.
I think I'm going to do some yankee today.
Dr. Pat has been going nuclear on us, you know.
Okay, Azzy. All right, let me just say hello.
Week, you were the same. He went nuclear.
Let me just say hello to one or two other people, then we will get started. Both my guests, I believe, are here, and we shall be getting started with this thing. Hi, Titus.
Hi, everybody.
How are you doing?
Everything good. How are you?
Doing good. I think 647 is Musaba, am I? I think so. Good morning.
Good morning, Nathan.
How are you, oh my goodness, I just like that Mufudira voice.
Yeah, I know, this man has been gone.
Yeah, I had to bring him in. Mafken. Okay, everybody, welcome, and let's get straight into business here. It's good to... I have got two guests with me today. I just want us to do Roger, Dr. Patrick, some sort of... I'll use the word random review of Zambia's economic performance in general terms. I'll just be throwing things at Musava, and our other guest is not a stranger to us. He's a regular feature on this show. We consider him to be a contributor, like they say in the big networks, none other than Smarter. Hi, Smarter.
Good afternoon, Nathan. It's afternoon here. What time is it there?
It's 8 a.m., my friend.
Okay.
It's 8 a.m. Roger Smarter is somewhere far out in Ufunsa Chongwe. He had to go to some place where he could get network. It shows you how much he values our discussions with him. Number one,
yes,
there are two reasons.
I actually cut my trip short and drove back to Lusaka because I was afraid the network may not just be on our side. So
let me go
out of my house, and I'd rather talk to you from
okay.
my car.
That's good. You see how serious it takes this thing. Now, the second thing I want to say is the reason I brought Musava and Yusimata is because they are both close friends of mine, and I can throw or say anything to them, Dr. Patrick, without them getting offended or misunderstanding me, because I want us to deal with some economic issues here. For example, you can both be responding as you choose and wish. Okay, Smarter and Musava, I sent you an article from Lusaka Times. This is something to do with where the Zambia Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Zaki President, is saying Zambia's in business environment has improved. And Smarter, I sent you a message and I said two reasons. I'm sure you two reasons, Roger, I'm raising with Smarter and Musava today. Two reasons. The man says there was a poor performance at a certain stage because of cholera outbreak. I say poor excuse. Number two, the other reason is saying stiff competition from imported goods. Smarter, that's not something we should be talking about. Zambia is an importing country. Your response, guy, gentlemen.
My immediate response is that I see no reason why you should have problems with that statement, because it's actually coming out of an independent authority. It is not coming from the politicians. Maybe if it had come from the PF, I would have understood your reserve. But it's coming from the Chamber of Commerce. Secondly, let's be wary of the fact that when we look at ourselves improving, we begin to think we are not. There are issues, other issues underlining that might be negative. But when it comes to the commerce level, I think the Chamber has spoken for all of us.
Musava, really?
I'm sorry. I woke up like 30 minutes ago. So good morning, everyone. I think I forgot to say
it's
hi
okay.
to everyone. Yeah. And I'm not sure. And then good morning, Wasmata. Wasmata's comment seems to be very, tries to be very neutral, but I don't think, I don't know. I don't think the Chamber of Commerce is as independent, at least in Zambia, most bodies, I don't think they're as independent as they should be. I think if we are going to listen to anyone making a comment about the performance of the economy, we should go to, say, someone who's running, who's looking at how ShopRite is doing, right? And according to ShopRite, they failed to meet their targets this year, and it's the worst they have seen. So based on that, and ShopRite is where everyone goes to buy stuff to eat, and it's food, not luxury, not imported things, food. and people are not even buying food. That ShopRite can't even make money. So that's not good. Then when we talk about cholera, if someone uses cholera as an excuse, you have to ask yourself, what caused cholera in the first place? That's what I mean. Because people don't want to connect all these things. Cholera outbreak is an economic issue. So if you get the worst cholera case in Zambia, it means your economy is not good. That's it.
Smarter, the Zaki or Zambia, what do you call it? I don't know if you wanted to respond to anything that Musava said, but you can do it and he'll respond to my point here. The Zambia Chamber of Commerce and Industry. Smarter, this is a, what's the word here? This is an all-encompassing body to your argument that this is not a statement from the government, but from an independent organization. To me, it doesn't hold water.
It does. Why shouldn't it? The Chamber of Commerce is covering more than ShopRite. For me, ShopRite is simply maybe a finger in both hands. The Chamber of Commerce is talking about a lot of other industries. They've put their statistics together and they've come out with a viewpoint. They've even acknowledged that there was a time we didn't do as good, but we have improved on it. Now, why shouldn't I believe them? Are you with me? Why shouldn't I?
Okay.
Let's give an example. For instance, inflation stands on 2 feet, food and non-food. And sometimes it does not, both sides may go opposite directions, but they total up to inflation. So same thing, ShopRite may not have done their business like they projected, but the other people are happy. And I'm sorry to say they are the majority. Unless you are telling me that ShopRite is 90% of our commerce in this country.
No, of course it's not. Go ahead, Georgia.
You know, in Zambia we make this huge mistake of measuring our economy because inflation is 8%, inflation is 7%. When inflation sometimes is low, only means that people are not going to the store. In America, here in Canada, Nathan, the measurement of the economy is based on employment. What are the employment numbers telling us? How many people are able to find a job? We should stop all this. This feels good because the ABCD. No, things which really affect people, like unemployment. What are those numbers telling us?
Can I say something?
You may, my brother.
Firstly, I was giving an example of how inflation is calculated. I said there are two components of it, food and non-food. You cannot base inflation on one of them. However, when you take the two and then you average, that's how you get your inflation. I did not say that the economy is doing very well because inflation is doing very well. I did not say that. However, in the same breath, let me say something. There are more indicators to an economy than just one. You can't just say employment. If it works for Canada, it works for America, fine. But that does not mean that it works for Zambia. In Zambia, we look at a number of other indicators. Inflation is one of them. The exchange rate is another one of them. Our GDP is one of them. There are a number of other indicators. When you are going to compare Zambia to America directly, you are not being fair to both sides. Because it is like me out here in Charleston, green, comparing myself to someone in Ngombe, for instance, living in a 2x2x1 meter house. I don't think I'm being fair. because the conditions are different. I must look at that person's conditions and come and look at my conditions. And then maybe you compare me with my peers.
Well, listen, very, very quickly. Employment, what's matter, involves the lives of people. So it will not matter whether people in Korea, it is people in Korea, whether people in Canada, whether people in Zambia. Employment involves real people. This GDP, inflation numbers, probably who cares about those numbers other than the people in Lusaka? But for someone who is in Kasempa, my cousin, he just wants that small job so he can go and do something. It is universal. Employment is universal. It does not need to be, you don't need to be somewhere about matter. We all need employment. That should be why, to me, Nathan and Musawa here, this is why I think our country is where it is. Because we are always measuring things which does not affect people. In any sense, yes, I know GDP affects people. When we export so much copper, our GDP has gone up. But are we getting that money back in the country? The answer is no. today, Rosmata can tell you 95% of goods and services in the mines are imported, and those are jobs which could be going to a Zambian. And yet a Zambian youth is walking in the streets because we think the GDP is so high, we are exporting so much copper, and yet we are not benefiting from the mines. Now, let us share the policy.
Okay. I don't know, Smart. You both want to respond to Roger, Musawa, Chimusumata?
I think I'm ready for it.
Okay, but Smata, let Musawa go. Let Musawa go.
No problem.
Yes, and the reason I want to go first because I have a comment for Smata. And this one, I think I'm on Roger's side, right? I think what Smata is saying is these are things we have seen before where you are saying the numbers are good. Actually, that the PF government used to tell the MMD government that people cannot eat inflation, right? When it comes to GDP numbers, Roger is very right on this one. The part of the economy that is doing well is not controlled by really the local people, or it's not the things that people benefit. And the example he used himself, Ross Vasmata, is that you cannot compare people where he lives and people in Ngombe compound, right? If his economy is good, the people in Ngombe compound, their economy is not good. So we have to talk about them. How come their economy is not good, right? And when we look at ShopRite, ShopRite is spread. It's not a tiny piece. We don't look at it as a business. We look at it from a consumer point of view. Where you find ShopRite in Imansa, in Chipata, in Mufira, and everywhere, and even in Lusaka. So you are getting a very important statistic from them. You see what I mean? Not just the business that are found at Mandahill.
Okay, Sumata.
I'll start from the top. If you remember, the question of ShopRite was brought in to counter my position about the fact that the Chamber of Commerce has spoken. And in the process, I gave the example of, say, how inflation is calculated. Sometimes food side of inflation can influence the outcome of the inflation figure. Other times, it's the non-food side, or both of them. My brother there then said he's got statistics from ShopRite or information telling us that they are not quite happy in the way they performed. I have not denied that. Because, one, I am not aware about the ShopRite statement. But secondly, I am aware that ShopRite is an element of commerce. And the people in charge of commerce have told us things are all right. That's the way statistics work. That's how economics work. Are you with me? No, I also qualified that in the middle of that, not every area is all right. Secondly, my brother Roger talks about unemployment. I agree with employment being a major index out there. Now, when you come back to Zambia, the full records of what is employment are not even known, for instance, except that we know that so many people are in formal employment. Therefore, we then calculate the adult number, and then we assume that the other group is in non-formal employment. Are you with me? I am coming from Lufunsa right now. I cannot call those people unemployed simply because they do not have blue overalls or tie by the neck. They've got land, they've got cattle, they've got all these other things. Maybe this is what you're saying. Those kind of statistics we should include in our final position. But that's for a different day and a different matter.
Okay. Okay.
So my point is simple, well, Pastor. My point is very simple. I don't want to doubt the Commerce and Industry Chamber. Because it's like the Rotary. If the Rotary announced that there are 50,000 blind people in this country, who am I to stand up and say, no, you're telling lies, or that is the truth? Because maybe they've got a vision program, they've actually done the statistics. So if I'm going to think of them politically, I might say, no, how can you make such a statement? Because it might go against my government. You get what I'm trying to say?
No problem. What's the matter?
Okay.
What's the matter? You are...
I would like the Minister of Finance.
Very quickly. He's saying things, as they say, on two tongues here. He tells us the economy cannot be measured only on one thing. There are several things you can measure on. And yet he wants us only to believe the Chamber of Commerce, that the Chamber of Commerce has spoken. What's the matter? We should have it both ways.
I can explain that. Commerce is also an element of the economy. I did not say because commerce has given a positive position, then the whole economy is all right. I don't remember. So if I did, I withdraw that statement.
Nathan.
Okay. Yes. Gentlemen, before we dwell on
one matter here, I know this has, you can see we've almost gone 20 minutes just dealing on this issue. I want to raise another point here to both Musala and this matter here. By the way, everybody listening online, those of you that have called in, we're talking to Musala Chailunga, object-oriented development, and the smarter managing advisor at Oasis Consult. Please, they are speaking in their personal capacity. That's why we call this Citizens Forum. These two are not speaking on behalf of which no government or anything. Smarter speaking as a private Zambian citizen, so is Musala. I'm simply picking their minds or brains, like they say, based on their qualification and the issues of understanding the economy. Okay. We have so many malls coming up in Zambia, and I don't even know why that is exciting people, because I've gone on record to say malls are not a reflection of development. Reason I say that is, can you give me the progress and the rate at which these malls are coming up and how the manufacturing sector in Zambia is coping? The reason I say that is because one of the issues that the Zambia Chamber of Commerce have raised is stiff competition from imported goods, which 90%, if not 98%, of the things sold in those malls is imported. Your response.
Again, even if we zero in on, say, commerce, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mall is simply an outlet. A mall is basically a shop or shopping. So
yes.
We assume in those malls they are ShopRite and many others. Are you with me? So malls are simply an outlet. For me, when I see those malls going up, I'm saying to myself, this shows demand. It shows that the economy has some kind of demand. This shows business opportunity for those who are building up all those malls. What I wonder is whether they'll finally fill them up 100%, because that only goes to a few malls. Are you with me? Now, that to me does not relate directly to the manufacturing industry. It doesn't.
No.
It doesn't. The manufacturing industry has got its own problems. It's got its own challenges. It's got its own opportunities, which in my view could still be exploited even without malls. Malls are simply the outlet. Let me give an example. Tomato, right? Suddenly in this country, tomato is one of those goods which a lot of people are growing, at least in the urban areas, Lusaka, for instance. So you get a box of tomato, like right now, is around 40 to 50 kwacha, depending on where you go. Because outside my house, there's a guy selling for 50 kwacha a box. But I know there are cheaper places. But in another couple of months, it may reach 500 like it did last year. Are you with me?
Okay.
So there is a demand for it. Now, in my view, there should be an industry behind it, like making tomato paste, tomato sauce. That element is not there, but tomato is coming out. We'll soon be going into mango season. Same thing. There will be a lot of mangoes in the market. The beginning, very expensive. Towards the end, middle, and very cheap, going to waste. That, again, to me, there should be a manufacturing industry behind not only the mango output, but many other fruits. I am a fruit farmer. Right now, I've gone for a lot of fruits, 13 or 14 different types. I'm saying to myself, I've seen an opportunity in the market. I can compete with the South African product. Why not? They'll beat me on an apple. They'll beat me on a grape. But I don't see them beating me on an avocado. I'm sorry,
okay.
They won't.
Good.
you know what I mean? That is opportunity. Now, at some point, I may need a place to sell those things to. Maybe ShopRite. Maybe at the market. Right here in Chosa.
The two
for me may not quite correlate immediately.
Okay, Musula, the more is a reflection of demand and business opportunity. I don't know how you want to respond to my question.
Is that for me?
Yes.
Your opinion.
Yes. On this one, when it comes to malls, I agree with Vasmata.
Okay.
Because, you see, each economy has its own division, like we spoke about earlier, right? It's not just one thing.
Mm.
So, malls are part of the commercial real estate industry. So, regardless, we need to build things. We need to build infrastructure. And the fact that people are not using government money, let them build. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. If they were using government money and people are building malls when there are no schools, you'll be like, hey, what's going on? They are using their own money, you see?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I also talk about that in the beginning that Zambia had was like, when people retired, they were expected, people say, when I retire, I'm going to start a business, a store, I'll be running a store. But what used to happen was that someone retires, the money they get, they have to build the store and fund the store itself, right? But I think these days, the infrastructure exists. So all you need now is to buy your boxes of soap and rent a shop, right? So it makes it easier. And that's why it's important that we keep building these things. And like Mr. Smata himself has said, he can even get a place in the mall, just fruit, which happens everywhere else. He doesn't have to start thinking about building his own building.
Prohibitive rent.
Nathan, very quickly.
Rent is my brother.
I like controversy sometimes, Nathan, especially when what's matter is throw it out. Yes. The more, Nathan, I may agree with him, may represent consumers, people who are going to the store, meaning things, there is money in the economy. The upside to that, those malls, as always, are only going up in Lusaka, and which tells you the distribution of probably our economy is not even. There is a mall in every corner of Lusaka. Going back to your original question about the Chamber of Business, what they said, if Womsaba or came and said the interest rate has gone down and therefore a guy in Kitwe is also able to borrow so he can start a small business and hire more workers, we can have more good-paying jobs, I'll probably agree with him that the economy is doing well. But because we are just doing the most, what jobs are provided by the most? Basic malls. Who are the mostly going to those malls? People who are based in Lusaka. Where do they get the money? No one knows.
Can I react quickly?
Yama, can I come in?
After he reacts, Yama, you can come in. Go ahead, Smata.
Very, very quickly. Let me please put it in with a background. There's 1.7 million people in Lusaka. There are 500,000 people in Kitwe, 450,000 people in Indola, 180,000 in Mongo. The next biggest town is, in fact, Chipata, 450,000 people. So for everyone more in Lusaka, or let's say every three more in Lusaka, is one more in Kitwe. The population is 130. So if there will be more things happening in Lusaka, it's because the market is here. The market. You see the point? It is maybe more profitable for anybody to invest in Lusaka than it is to invest in Mongo with 180 or 100,000 in Kasama. You see the point? So why should I build them more in Kasama?
So then, to that point you have raised, so what are we supposed to do as citizens? I'm using the word citizens. You can tell I'm avoiding government here. Msala, you can correct me here if I'm... Well, then what do we do then to take development to a population of 180,000? There will be no development because the population is small or low?
No.
Uh-huh.
The point also is, you and me are citizens of this country. Unfortunately,
yes,
economic power is not skewed towards us. It isn't. And nobody is addressing or has addressed this from 1964. Are you with me? Even when my brother was talking about interest rates coming down, even if they came down to 3%, can you and me go to a financial institution and borrow for a development
project? Of course. Why not?
Oh, I see. Like you, which sometimes are borrowing for development projects, except from the CEEC, a government institution. I'm talking about development banks or even commercial banks. They're skewed against us.
Yeah, I know. If we get time, we shall get to the...
Also.
Yeah, if we get time, we shall go to the banking issue and try to address that. I hope I don't...
That would be nice. I'll be one of those... Okay, they'll consider me having betrayed them, but that's all right. I know the inside.
It's okay. Yama, go ahead with your question or your point. I hope there's something I want to throw at Musaba. I hope I don't lose my train of thought. Go ahead, Yama.
Write it down. Write it down, Yama. It's about the malls. Your first question about Vanessa, you know, I hope you guys, you know, expanded more. And I don't think they did give us a lot of information about your question is very, very important, Vanessa. But, you know, I'm in the transport industry. And the thing about the malls, the way we are building the malls, we are building them not to create jobs. We're just building for the people to go shopping, you know. Back in the 80s, there was no lots of warehouses in the United States. But if you go in the corridor of 81, 80, and these are main roads, you know, you find a lot of malls where truckers are coming from California and they drop things. And most of the things that they drop in these warehouses, they're going, it's for the people. I mean, it's for these goods is to go to the malls. And one thing, I don't want to give you a lot of information because sometimes I feel like this government, I don't want them I want the next government to develop the country.
This
one, you know. If you take your time, go to the malls or go to the warehouses, you see the sprinklers. You know what the sprinklers, you know, it's in case of fire. You know, all those are they're creating jobs. You know, for the pipes, for the sprinklers, for the tow motors. For when you go in a warehouse itself, even I deliver a lot to food stores. If you find the equipment there, you know, somebody is busy making equipment to deliver to the mall to the malls. So the malls, it's a new thing. You know, it's gonna be mining. And
I like that.
And going to the mall, you know.
Uh-huh.
Malls are very, very, very important. I have a job today because of malls. If there was no lot of malls, I would be sitting somewhere, you know. And I'm wasting gas. I'm buying tires. I'm buying trucks. I'm renting trailers. It's because of malls.
Okay.
Good
point, Yama. Musaba, I don't know if you wanted to add on or just address what say a statement. Then also, Musaba, like I said before, I lose my train of thought. This thing of development, I don't know. Please bring in your OOD, object oriented development here. I want us to balance this thing because Mata's statement about population in Lusaka and the Mwongo Kitwe and all those, to me, it has struck a nerve.
Is that for me?
Yes, Musab.
Okay. I mean, Vos Mata is right when it comes to population. I mean, we should look even where we are. We cannot just be saying in the U.S., in Canada, it's like this, it's like that, right? The smaller towns do not have everything the big towns have. You see, you can go to a smaller town, you only have, they have one cinema hall.
Yeah.
You go to the big city, they have like 30 cinema halls. You see? So
in one location.
Population matters. And when it comes to Lusaka, and I know you and Roger talk about what about the other places. Me, I have no problem. When government is doing things, I have a problem if government is doing everything in one area. I have no problem when private citizens are doing things in one area.
Okay.
And you see, the way business works is that people learn, if you oversaturate yourself, like what happened with a tomato, where everyone started growing tomato, it dropped from 500 to 50, right? People learn, everyone's going to go tomato just because someone is paying this much money. So what we are looking at are people like, say, Roger Nath, and they go, how come there is 10 malls in Lusaka and there's no more in Chingola? let's build them more in Chingola. We can't just say we don't need malls, right? Our friend who just spoke, who's in the transport business, has seen the value of malls, and that's what it is. And these things we learn. If we look at this kid who built a car, right, and took it to the trade fair, you see what I mean? And when you look at other Zambians that are doing certain things that are very similar, you are going to see that because of the technology, within 5 to 10 years, Zambians are going to compete, because there will come a time when it will be too expensive to sell a foreign product in Zambia, because it's cheaper being grown in Zambia and being made in Zambia. Mm. And then the Zambians will take up the shelves from the malls.
Okay.
Nathan, very quickly, I'll throw in here. Like I said, who knows where. Most of the jobs, I may be wrong, most of the jobs which are provided in Lusaka are government jobs, civil service. In other words, the money is being made, say, for instance, in the Copper Belt. The Lusaka people decide on it, and a huge part of it is, I've always given an example of, say, a passport or someone who is paying a NAPSA. They get their job in Kasama. Their NAPSA is deducted. The day when that guy needs a passport or something, you have to travel, as always, to Lusaka. Every bus has to go to Lusaka. Guess what? That man needs somewhere to sleep when he's in Lusaka. He's going to need a pizza to eat when he's in Lusaka. That is happening from somebody who is coming from Mongo, somebody who is coming from Chipata. What are we creating in Lusaka? What I call false demand. Because we have created this central power thing for everything, we think there is demand. What about if we sat down and said, why don't we create jobs now in Nakonde, now that there is a good roads, or in Imbara? Let's take industries there. 400 people was matter in Chipata, you said. That is a lot of people. That is the entire town.
Yeah, 400,000.
400,000, that's an entire town, big town. But guess what? You will find that only a few of them are in government jobs. We have failed to take employment, real employment, to these people so that they can participate in our economy. And therefore, everyone has to travel to Lusaka, go and create this false, in my view, false economy because of its central power. And we think there is demand there. I refuse that. I refuse. That is false, and I don't think it will take us anywhere. We need 2 or 3 malls in Chipata because we have created real paying jobs over there.
Okay. Samantha, you want to react to that?
Yeah. It's very right. It's very right. That, remember, I made the statement. There are a lot of policies, institutional institutes, or institutions which we have not bothered to change from 1964. Are you with me? If you are traveling from Livingstone, you are trying to get to Chipata, why do you have to come to Lusaka?
Talk to me about
you
that.
Know?
You know?
Yeah, yeah, if you are coming from Solwezi, you are going to Livingstone, why do you have to come to Lusaka? If
tomorrow,
you look at the map, Zambian map, you can draw a straight line.
Why do you have to travel to
Lusaka? Those issues are there.
The celebrities that want to be seen.
No, before independence, it was a way of keeping the freedom fighters docile. Because they had to pass through the Lusaka, and then the colonial government is tipped off. But we've continued the same thing, you know. From Chipata, you're going to the Copper Belt. Why do you have to come to Lusaka? To me, there are no bottlenecks. I agree totally. Are you with me?
Okay.
Because
yes, no, good
now,
point.
My brother there says he can't give an idea because these people might copy. We're suffering in the moment. Let's assume... the government in power now has no idea. Give it to them.
I know, right?
No.
One more point, Smart and Musaba here. I'm running out of time.
Yeah.
Everybody who has called in,
yes,
if you want to ask a question, okay, I'll see if I can allow one or two questions. One of the points that you said, you've made a statement here, Smart, and said something that has not changed from Independence Day or colonial days. The Zambia Chamber of Commerce in that report or article mentions that the rising copper prices, rising, and I sent this, and I in my exchange with you, in my text message, I said to you,
mm-hmm,
honestly, now we are still talking about copper prices today, Musaba, today. Okay, you mentioned tomato. We don't talk about agriculture. We don't talk about fish farming, aqua farming, whatever. Yeah, we don't talk about tourism. We just give it a lip service. We're still talking about copper prices in this time and age, Smart Musaba.
Well, does Musaba want to go first?
I can
Musaba.
Go. I can
Hello?
Go first.
Go.
Yeah.
Please go ahead.
I can go now.
Okay.
Copper prices, no matter how we look at it, it's not going anywhere. Copper, for a long time to come, Zambia is going to depend on minerals and on its copper, because there's still a lot. Even with the mines we see here, there's still a lot. There are places where we haven't even found it yet, right?
Mm.
But the problem that I have with copper, though, is that it's controlled by people outside. So it's not
for
me, it's not so much the price. It's more to do with the ownership, right? And that's why, for example, you find most people, like Roger Spitz was talking about why these things are happening, and would explain exactly, correctly, and you agree with him that he has seen something, right? And then when I go to someone like Roger, I say, Roger, what you are saying the problem is, this is the solution. And Roger will tell me, Musaba, you are wrong. That's not the solution, right? So, you see, the thing is that in Zambia, we have seen what the problem is, but we have failed to see that the only way we can do these things ourselves is if we build wealth ourselves. We have the money ourselves, right? And then we don't have to wait for the Chinese or for the other people and to do things. Even government, you can go to the government and say, we can do this here. We just need the land. And you do it, right? We just need that freedom to do it. So copper pricing really is not going to go anywhere. It's Zambia's mining is the anchor of all the sectors, including tourism and farming,
which we just give lip service to. We don't do anything about it. Okay, Smart.
Yeah, I'm trying to connect him. I think he dropped off.
Okay, that's fine. I appreciate this, gentleman, Musaba. I really appreciate you taking the time to do this. The reason I did this is because I really wanted to get an independent mind, okay? And not really us, like my friend keeps saying in the past few weeks, Roger, that, look, we are trying to stay away from this thing of being bothered by President Lungu, politics, PF, and we just want to talk about things that are really over. Those of you in Dallas, Texas, Dr. Mumba is in town. He's having a breakfast this morning at 10 a.m. The address is 11034 Shady Trail, Suite 118 in Dallas, Texas. If you're interested in attending, it's at 10 a.m. The price is $15. It's for leaders, pastors, and everybody in leadership business. He'll just be sharing some thoughts. If you'd like to join us, you can give me a call or go to that address that I gave you, 11034 Shady Trail, Suite 118 in Dallas, Texas. And tonight you'll be finishing off with an evening service at the same place. So those of you in Dallas, you are welcome to join us. Let me go to me. Alan, good morning.
Good morning.
Your thoughts on what you have heard so far. We have 10 minutes remaining here. I hope he comes back. I want us to finish this properly.
My thoughts are, for me, the condition that we're in as a country, right? The problem I think we have is that our government does not really, I doubt if they really have a plan and really wants to put country, because Zambians, I keep insisting, we have highly qualified people spread all over the world and living within Zambia. If we say, for instance, within the next 10, 15 years, we have to be able to have Zambians running copper mines, maybe not everything because it's a global market, but a good share of the copper mines must be in Zambian hands. That can be done. And the best way to do it is like what the U.S. government did when the motor company was tanking. The government pumped in money into Ford Motor Company. They were majority shareholders. And then they started pulling out pano. Eventually now, the government has totally pulled out and they have not lost any money. Our Zambian government can invest in the mine, invest one particular mine or a couple of mines, set up our Zambian business and entrepreneurs and get them to a level where they can now run the business, they can now make profit, and the government is pulling out slowly. The trouble is that if the government did today, just gave somebody a lump sum of money, starts today, and they have no hands in it, most likely they're going to steal that money and it's going to go to waste. But you do what other governments have done. Any development, the road infrastructure. In the beginning, the U.S. government pumped in a lot of money. And then now, even the workers were employed by the U.S. government. Now you can have private companies contracting. But the government was there to help prop up its people to a place where they can now run on their own. That's what we need in Zambia. Instead of just inviting the Chinese and other people, if we invite the Chinese to come and prop up the Zambians, so that in 5 years, 10 years' time, they can stand on their own. We are able to do this. We used to run the mines ourselves. And the only reason we didn't make money is that the money was being put in the unique pockets or whatever politician's pocket. The same thing with Zambia Airways. We used to make the money. We can do it. We have the educated people. We just have to have the will to be able to do it. And
that's
starts with political leadership. No matter which way we dice it, political leadership has to be interested in really getting wealth in the hands of regular Zambians.
Okay. Let Musaba, you want to comment on that? This is your panel today.
Yes, I can just say he's right on facilitating, government facilitating people to do things. And the capacity by Zambians is there. And our brother there was saying government can steal his idea. They can. And this is how I know. He can go to the president and paint it in white and black, in black and white they call it.
Uh-huh.
Break it down, and the president won't even do it. That's the problem we have. They don't even copy. That's the problem we have.
if they were copying Nathan, at least by now we would be making even a wheelbarrow and guacamole. If they were copying,
exactly,
you know,
exactly. They don't even copy.
Toothpicks.
Toothpicks. Yeah.
Toothpicks. I mean toothpicks, guys. We buy toothpicks from China, or is it South Africa? I don't know. let's say good morning to Dr. Kalonde here.
Hey, good morning. Hey, I'm on the road. Sorry, I'm just listening. How is everybody?
We are doing fine. We are.
Yes,
I'm throwing greets
to everybody.
I'm throwing greets at Mata and Musaba, and they keep dodging.
We know. We know.
Titus. Is Titus here? I want to ask him a question.
Hello.
But
hello, I'm here. This is
Titus. The farm produce at the farm. Where are the products mainly sold or taken?
They are mostly sold locally nowadays. That's what the people actually travel. It's a little bit different from the old time when you take it somewhere. The people that are selling, whether they're distributing whatever, they will come to the farm. Some of those things are already bought before. So it's a little bit different mechanism. I just wanted to comment on the tomatoes because I think it was Simata was talking when the box goes to 400 or 500 kwacha, and now it's at 50. It was even lower than 40, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Someone was saying it's
as bad as $10 or 10 kwacha, Titus.
Yes,
10 kwacha.
I'd heard that, but I want to make sure that people also understand that there's a time when it saturates and there's a different factor to that, especially on the tomatoes. If you do it the time when everybody can use rainfall or something like that, that saturation is different from when you do the tomatoes when you're using irrigation. This is why if you check when it hits the highest amount, it's not the time when somebody is relying on just rainfall to grow the same tomato. Although there's a lot of people that are using drip irrigation and things like that. But you can plan to grow it at the time when it's for sure it will be maybe between 200 to 500 as the selling price.
Okay.
So some
okay, thank you.
Have to be careful.
Thank you. I think Smarta is back. Smarta.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We have 3 minutes remaining here. I want you give me a 1 minute perspective of the economic situation in Zambia. We haven't even talked about taxes. We haven't talked about banking services and charges. There's a lot of things to talk about here. I'll arrange another day this time when you're not going to the farm. Give me a 1 minute synopsis of your view of the Zambian economy, Musaba. Get ready to do the same thing.
We are not there yet, but things are looking good.
When are we going to get there? Inenanakukolorela.
Unfortunately, with economies, you can't really say. You can't say next week or the week after.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
For me, a number of things will have to change in order for us to get there.
What are those things? Have they got to do with government? Or I don't want to drag into a political discussion here.
Agriculture is our greatest employer and the most neglected in my view. Copper for me is no longer an issue because, like somebody said before I went offline, I forget exactly, we are not in charge of it. Even if a ton of copper is $100,000, I can assure you $99,500 will still go to the world out there. Maybe $500 will come back to Zambia. So I don't believe that copper should even be looked at. And especially now, it's worse that it's even in private hands. It's even worse. So
it's true.
We need to change. We need to change attitudes also. Attitudes.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk again.
Maybe for another day.
We'll talk again very soon. Musaba, in 40 seconds.
Yeah.
Sorry, my friend.
Yeah, even me who believes in private enterprise knows that government is a driver of the economy. Like they are the biggest consumer in any economy. So it doesn't match. The math does not add up to me when someone says the economy is doing well when the government is bankrupt. You see, we can't pay our debts outside. Mm-hmm. We can't pay our contractors. And we are trying to claim that the economy is doing well. It's not.
Yeah. Okay, I'll make arrangements for both. Yeah. I'll make arrangements for both of you to come up. I've run out of time. Let's go back in open forum. Musaba, thank you. Smarta, thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Bye.
Mazoti tazisoa, ni maona misozi masomwake, ni mafuto, vale ni mafuto.